What's up, everyone? And this is Next Level Thinking.
What's up, everyone? It's another great episode of Next Level Thinking. It's your host, Chris Holmes, as always, helping you take it to the next level and be inspirational as well. And today I have a lovely guest by the name of...
Herdeen Mercier.
Hey, look at that great smile. So let's go ahead and start out with some foundation. Tell the audience a little bit about yourself as we dive in to see who this person is.
All right. I'm Herdeen Mercier. I'm a licensed clinical social worker and certified grief coach. I literally help individuals get unstuck by dealing with the unresolved grief so that they can continue living purposefully.
Oh, I like how you started that, especially with purpose. And I believe purpose is like your strongest core of everything.
Yeah. That's what I do. I think on my podcast, Redefining Grief, here it is, like Redefine Grief. I really want individuals to understand that grief is a part of our life. Like you can't run from it. You have to be able to walk through it in a sense. Can't jump it. You're going to experience grief somehow. And oftentimes what people do not understand is that grief is normal. What is not normal is that we as individuals have never been really taught how to deal with grief in a healthy manner. See, we experience grief when someone dies. We experience grief when an individual has actually gone through this career experience that was very traumatic, right? We experience grief when there's divorce, pet loss, empty nester, retirement, switching from here we are, this power couple, right? To now having a baby and this mom is going, oh my God, what happened to my life? I have this baby crying nonstop. Where is my sleep? I am craving my sleep. Do you understand me? So if grief is normal, why are we not talking about grief? And so my life calling is to bring grief to the topic, put grief at the table, and help individuals realize when you decide to deal with grief, baby, you can make it sexy.
That's whoo. You're what I'm talking. I hear. So with all that great way to start things off. So let me ask that. Tell me a little bit more about you. Like what kind of sparked of you being that person of help to actually help people get over grief? And like, what is there, is like something that happened in your lifetime that just like there needs to be a solution for this? That way we can kind of get the origin story of how this came about.
You know, I gotta tell you, purpose is always, we always come with a purpose, right? This is my life assignment. I didn't recognize it fully probably until 3 years ago, but I have been in training all my life as far back as I can remember, starting at the age of 7.
Whew, that's early. Okay.
Yeah, it's early. But what I was doing at 7, I was in training to really not preach, you don't get over grief. You learn to process it, heal it, and what I call my grief anchors, and get to that final stage that I teach is called restoration, right? At 7 years old, I remember my parents would go to funerals and I would cry to go. Like I was just, and you're probably thinking like 7-year-old attending a funeral? Yes. I would cry to go because when I went, I observed individuals crying. I observed upset. I observe all these emotions. You know, when you go to a homegoing experience, what you see, what you encounter, for those who have ever had a chance or, you know, to attend a funeral. Mm-hmm. But I observed something that just kept me just like my mind just like, man, why we gotta die? Death is painful. Oof. Saying goodbye is hard. And I remember years asking that question, finally in my teen years saying, you know what? I'm not gonna die. I am not going to die. My body will go 6 feet under when it's my time, but I'm not going to die. Why? Because I am going to do what is necessary to live my life to the fullest, embrace the grief, do my best not to just marinate in it, put it on my calendar to heal, but I am going to process it. And that is where the birth of this whole thing came, of how I teach individuals, if we look and define grief differently, grief can change your life if you know how to embrace it. And that's what I do.
Yep. And I'm glad you hit on this point, because perspective is everything. You can view it as this way, or you can view it as a beautiful thing or a new chapter. It's all comes to perspective. So like, I'm pretty sure with everything going on, like, people constantly asking me questions to redefine grief. So what are the two most common questions that you get asked when a person is asking for help?
Oftentimes I get asked, and this is one of the myths, should I grieve alone?
Ooh, that was a big one.
That is a myth. Oftentimes, individuals, think back to your childhood when you would show emotions. What are the responses that you would get?
It just depends on what kind of emotion, especially like if it was not in the most positive. Yeah.
Okay, what is not positive? Think about that.
Like crying.
Thank you. Why isn't crying positive?
I mean,
crying and tears really represent a communication that something is happening. We embrace babies when they cry, because that is their way of communicating with us. Mm-hmm. So when an individual as a child crying, that is their way, or an adult, there is an emotion that has come up for them where there is happy tears or tears of sadness, that their release is the tears. But we have been taught as children to muffle that. What you crying for? I'm going to give you something to cry about. Oh, go to your room to cry.
Okay.
Think about it.
I didn't think about that until now.
Yeah. Go to your room to cry.
Alone.
And so we wonder as adults, why can't we show up with our emotions and tears and heartache? Why are individuals dying by suicide? I strongly believe this is happening in great numbers because we have not been teaching our children the powers of embracing their tears. There is power when you cry. There is power when you release. There is power when you put grief on your calendar and make time to heal. And I think the second biggest question that I get is, when is this going to be over? When is this pain going to be over? And for this, I say to you, Chris, I don't know the time frame to your grief, but I do know there is no time frame to grieving. Stop putting your grief in a box. Stop treating your grief as if it is a race. Grieving is a marathon. I could be married to an individual for 10 years. We divorce. It may not come back up till one day I'm looking at the calendar and going, oh my God, this would have been our 25th year wedding anniversary. And I cry again. Why am I crying? I am crying at the realization that I had a dream from when we walked down the aisle the first time. I already started planning our 25th wedding anniversary. So I might be crying at the fact that, wow, I am not going to see it. Those are two big myths that we look at. Two big questions. Don't put a time frame on grief. Put more emphasis and concentration on saying, I'm going to do something about it by educating myself about the grief process and what I need to do to heal.
Very well said. I'm over here just taking notes. Very powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Whew. Usually I can just fire up real quick with another question, but I was like, okay, I'm just digesting. No, it was really good. But I'm like,
I know, Chris. But I think oftentimes, I think this is why I'm on this mission, for us to redefine it. Because what you think grief it is not. It is not. And so when you don't understand something, marinate in what it is. Educate yourself. Like, I've been studying this. I spent some time certifying in grief and just working with clients and presentations and individuals. I strongly believe when you don't understand something, you get your power by spending time understanding it, making time to gain the wisdom from it. And that's why I did the podcast. And that's why I speak. And that's why I do interviews, because I'm on a mission for people to understand it and make it comfortable.
Most definitely. And it's something that's definitely needed to be put out there a lot more. So a question, and I'm very curious to get your response off of that. Is it more, is grief more troublesome in younger audience or the older audience? And added on to that question, is there more of a grief battle in those with, I'm trying to see how to put this, in a more traditional, I say job setting, let's say, when I say traditional, we say like something like Walmart or like retail versus, let's say, a career path. Higher pay, but at times it may be stressful. And sometimes, depending on the position, they may not be able to grieve as much.
Okay. All right. Let me unpack it. That's a good question. Okay. So can I say this? You see how uniquely you are made? Your DNA is uniquely made to you?
Yes.
Grief is uniquely made to you as well. Whether you are a child, an adult, an executive, a homeless individual in the streets, your whole journey, your story, that grief experience is uniquely made to you. And that's why you need a trained individual that is available and really can help you process that grief and allow you to realize what will be your game plan to get to a place where you're able to process the grief and go from unresolved grief to recovery. A lot of us are dealing with unresolved grief. And what I say is, how we treat it is pacify that behavior. And when I say pacify, some of us are pacifying the behavior by drugs, being in toxic relationships.
Oof, you're getting deep.
Toxic. Yeah. And I mean it. We are pacifying the grief of not maybe having our daddies there. We pacify it by longing for the approval in need of a man. Some of us are pacifying our unresolved grief with the refrigerator. Some of us are pacifying our unresolved grief by literally overworking, because we are afraid of silence. So the question is, how are you handling your brokenness? What are the pacifying behaviors? Next level thinking?
Yes.
Okay. If you really want to get to next level thinking, I strongly believe you should spend some time being silent with yourself and recognize, you know what? My heart may be broken, but I'm not broken. And in 2021, I am going to make the decision no matter how ugly it is, because grief is ugly. And when you begin to unpack that thing, it's a lot, it's heavy. But I promise you that when you make the decision that change is going to come, it happens and you feel a lot better. You really do.
Yeah, that's definitely loaded. And everything is like spot on from what you're saying. And people use these different things to kind of like distract themselves from actually facing it head on. At the end of the day, you still have to address it. Mm-hmm. And so many people, I use a term like coping mechanisms. Like they're like, oh, I don't want to deal with this. So I'm gonna work, so I don't have to think about it. Or I'm not in the right mindset, but let me just go to the bar. I'll be right back. Because it's like a person keeps running.
Mm-hmm.
They keep running, running, and running. And it just makes that question, like, how long are you going to keep running? Because it's still going to be there. When are you going to finally turn around and face it?
Yeah. Grief has no expiration date. The grief comes with triggers. There's level to this. You're going to heal at one level, right? Then another, something else going to hit you. Then now you got to build that muscle. You know, I would think when I would go to the gym with my husband, right? And I'm like, oh, I can pull on, just put in the bar. And he's over the bar and me trying to push up that bar. I have to build the resistance, right? And the strength to really add weights. And that is grief. Every level comes with its different weight, but we got to keep pushing. We got to get pushing. You can't go around it. You can't jump. You can't go underneath it. What I strongly believe is the only way to heal with grief is making a decision that you're going to go through it. You're going to move this mountain of hurt and pain and sorrow by deciding I am going to go through it. You just got to decide and then take action.
Yes, and that's action is the main key, because we can wonder all we want to, but what are actual steps it's going to take to being healed. Mm-hmm. So while the audience and whoever watches this, let's say they're going through something in their life, what would you recommend? And I am remembering you saying, like, everything is unique, like how you react to it, your DNA, like how you react to the different griefs is going to be unique. But let's just say in summary, like, what would be the most, or what would you suggest a person, like the first step for them to being healed?
Ooh, you're going to go teach. Let me teach a lesson on my grief anchors. And these are five anchors that I strongly believe, because I've gone through them myself. My heart has been broken. Financial bankruptcy, I've been there. I know what it's like to grieve financially, right? And so the very first anchor I strongly believe in helping an individual process grief is tell the truth. When you tell the truth about your pain and you anchor down in that truth, no matter how scary it is, you begin the first step of freedom, of emotional freedom, by telling that truth, because it's no longer a secret. See, secrets, okay, so the truth shall set you free. It is really that. The second anchor that I believe is, then you got to examine your heart. How is that grief robbing you of living today? How is that grief robbing you of your future? If you don't notice anything about life, time keeps going and it never stops. No matter how bad I want to be 40 for the rest of my life, my 41st birthday is going to come this November. So see, if time is going to keep going, the issue is some of us are 35 and emotionally 5. Oof. Some of us are 35 and emotionally 5, because we have not dealt with the pain that was caused to us at 5 years old. So I say, one, tell the truth. Two, examine your heart. Three is the third anchor where I talk about the connection anchor. What is that? That is just saying finding community that will see you, hear you, validate your emotions without ever judging you. That's that number one. That's three. Find that community. And if you're saying, Herdeen, I have no community, get in one. I have a free grief community on Facebook called Grief Crusaders. My community is Grief Crusaders, and that's where I serve. That's where I educate. Number four, the fourth anchor I believe that helps individual is tapping into that faith. We need it, right? Faith is basically saying, I'm going to trust without reservation. I am going to trust this process of healing. I am going to hold on to my faith to understand that I am not going to allow this thing to rob me of the beauty of understanding when I am anchoring down in my faith, the power and the strength comes just by believing. You know, I strongly believe God created this entire world just by saying the word. All right? He said bird and bird were formed. He said human to have eyes and ears and all the senses that we have. And so I believe in the power of being able to pray and having honest conversations with God that people typically tell you not to say to God. Question him. I say do it, because he'll always give you an answer if you allow yourself to be still and not distracted from the pain. And the final thing that I would say is, you want to get to restoration, you got to go through all four of those steps. And that restoration is representing emotional well-being. See, Chris, everybody's telling everybody to be happy, have the house, have the kids, have the career. Right? Mm-hmm. But nobody is telling people about emotional well-being, that it is okay. I strongly believe that happiness and sadness can coexist. They both can be our friends. They are powerful tools to have if we know how to embrace them well.
Well, whew. you learn I ain't got no sense, but all of that was definitely breathtaking, as something that somebody or anyone can take to get over or heal in their grieving process. And I'm glad that you broke it down into five different steps. So whenever, because it's going to happen, that an individual can have a guidance to overcome, heal, and then prosper along the way. So, with that said, because I know you're on a tight schedule, can you leave us with a closing comment, and where can they find you at? I know you said the group, but if can you remind us of the group as well?
Okay, I will. I think my closing comment is, you only get one life. You only get this one chance to live your life. Do not allow the pain of yesterday to rob you of today. Do not allow the pain of yesterday to rob you of today. Yes, your heart might be broken, but baby, you are not broken. And then I would say, I think the best way to contact me is on every platform, but you can really visit me at herdeenmercier.com. All social media platforms at herdeenmercier.com. Where I love to hang out and play is Instagram the most, as well as my community. We are the Grief Crusaders community, and that can be found on Facebook. with the Grief Crusaders. And then my podcast where we dropped, we started season two just yesterday. I released that episode. Oh, my podcast is called the Redefining Grief Podcast, where we teach this life is not perfect, but the requirement of living it is.
Well, she just dropped the mic on me. Say, take chill out. So I want to go ahead and say thank you again for being a guest on my show. It's your host, Chris Holmes, as we close everything out. As we all know, we want you to live prosperous, live it to the next level, and never give up and always be in high spirits. And I have my lovely guest by the name of...
Herdeen Mercier.
Hey, she's just a gentle, soft spirit. You can see the smile just rubbing off of it. Look at that. Yes, yes. So make sure you like, share, subscribe, and much more. Keep the messages going, because this is all valuable information so that you can live a great life. So take that and keep things going. And as we always say, take it to the next level. Peace.